My name is Isaac Gerlain. I'm the preacher intern this summer working with Andrew and Edwin, and I want to say thank you to the elders for giving me the opportunity to work here with all of y'all this summer. I had a pleasure to meet quite a bit of y'all so far. I've been a member here for 2 years. I just finished my bachelor's at Florida College, and I'm excited to get to know y'all better and to meet even more of y'all. It's going to take me a little bit to remember everybody's name, but I will get it eventually. One thing I've heard that a lot of people are excited to hear the intern speak is because it tends to be a short sermon. And we'll see if this is going to be short. I'll try to do my best to keep that tradition going. So I was on the phone last week with a friend. And she told me, you know, I've been very curious and interested. Does God speak today? If he does, how does he speak today? And that got my mind wandering, and I started digging into it, and I quickly figured there are two different type of people. The first person, type A, is the one who says, God speaks. God spoke directly to me. He spoke to me in a dream. He spoke to me in a voice. Sometime he came in person and spoke to me. A couple years ago, I was up in Indiana for this Bible study, and my friend and I met this young gentleman who came up to us, and he said, hey, did you know God spoke to me? Of course, that made us very curious, so he said, well, what do you mean? He said, I was in my bedroom one night, and I was awoken by a voice, and in the corner was this shadowy figure, and it was God speaking to me, and a dove flew out of my stomach. He truly believed this happened. Do I believe this happened? No, I do not. But there are people who would say, God has directly spoken to me, either through a voice or through dreams or as a person. And then there's the more negative side, the famous catchphrase, the devil made me do it. Satan has possessed me. He has told me. He whispered into my ear. Satan has made me do it. Hollywood entertains this idea through films like The Exorcist or The Conjuring. We even see the little boards, the Ouija boards, where you get to talk to the deep, dark spirits. People believe Satan speaks to us today. And the more I looked into it, the more I learned it is neither God nor Satan who speaks to us today, but our own minds. Our own consciousness is what speaks to us. And currently, there is a battle for our minds between God and Satan. And to understand this concept, we have to first look at different ways God and Satan spoke to us in the past. So let's first look at God. In the book of Genesis, it says, then Jacob asked him, please, tell me your name. And he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. Jacob is out and about, and he runs into this mysterious man, and he wrestles with the man, and then speaks to this man. And then afterwards, he realized this man was God himself. God spoke in the past in the physical form. He spoke to Jacob in a form of a human. The second way we see God speak is in Genesis. Joseph is having all these dreams, and he goes to his brothers and tells him these dreams. And he says, behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me. The second way we see God spoke in the past is through dreams. He was telling Joseph the future, that the 11 stars, his brothers, will be bowing down to him when he is a ruler in Egypt. And there's plenty of times we see when Joseph later on interprets dreams that God sends. God spoke in the past through dreams. In the book of Matthew, when Jesus is baptized, it said immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The third way we see God spoke in the past is through a voice. And he does this multiple times. Later on in Jesus' life, he's in the temple, and there's a sound of thunder. Half the people hear thunder, and the other half hears a voice. God spoke in the past in the form of a human in the physical realm. He spoke through dreams and he spoke in a voice. But what about now? How does he speak now? He speaks now through the Word, the Bible, his breath, his spirit. In John, it says, in the beginning, there's, and you know what? There's a typo there, so I'll just read it here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. The first way God speaks to us today is through his Word, through the Bible we have in front of us today, that we is accessible for all of us to have. And Jesus was the last that God has spoken through. In Hebrews, it says, long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, in the final days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. God spoke lastly through his own Son. He spoke through the prophets, through dreams, through voices, sometime in as a person, but the last person he spoke to was through his own Son. And he did this because the gospel is now completed. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ. You are turning to a different gospel, not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one re-preached to you, let him be accursed. Even if an angel from heaven comes and tells you there's more to it, let them be accursed, because we have the gospel. It is now completed. One thing I want us to understand is that when God spoke through the prophets, it was not just another Tuesday. It was a rare occurrence. And he did that for a specific purpose, to complete the work, to complete the gospel. And the last he spoke through was Jesus, his own Son, because now the gospel is completed. He speaks now through his words, because Jesus was the last one he spoke through, according to Hebrews, because now the gospel is complete. But our enemy is also speaking. We have to look at different ways Satan spoke in the past. In Genesis, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. The first way we see Satan speak in the past is verbally. We see a back and forth conversation between Eve and Satan. The second way we see Satan speak is in the book of Job. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, from where have you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Here we have another verbal conversation, this time between God and Satan. I want us to focus on the last few words. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Satan spoke in the past within the presence of God. The third way we see him speak is in the book of Matthew. It says Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Then the devil took him to a holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then the devil left him. The third way we see Satan speak again is verbally. But this time I want you to focus on the last words again. Then the devil left him. Satan spoke in the past within the presence of Jesus. We see him speak verbally with Eve. We see him speak with God, and we see him speak with Jesus. But now, Satan no longer speaks that way. Now he speaks through temptations. He speaks through temptations. 1 John, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of his Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." 1 Peter, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Satan speaks today through temptation, using our worldly desires. But it's our choice. People say, "The devil made me do it," but the devil cannot make you do anything. 1 Corinthians, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he would not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." Satan cannot make you do anything. People who say, "The devil made me do it," it's just a false statement, because he can't force you to do anything. He can tempt you, but it's your choice. Satan only spoke to man once. Throughout the whole entire Bible, you see him speak to Eve. And after that, he is cursed. You do not see him speak verbally to another man. After that, you only see him speak within the presence of God and the Son of God. But now he speaks through temptations. And Satan cannot force you to do anything. So is the devil whispering in your ears? Is Satan forcing you to do anything? No, he is not. But is he using temptations to get you to do earthly, worldly things? He is. God spoke to the people through the prophets. And we see that plenty of time in the Old Testament. But Jesus was the last that God spoke through. And he did that because the word, the gospel, he now speaks through the word that we have before us because the gospel is complete. God is not speaking to us through dreams. He's not speaking to us through a voice. And let alone, he's not coming to you in a physical form. But he speaks to us through the word because the word is now completed. There is a battle for your mind. Because it's our mind that speaks to us. Our consciousness decides what we say, what we think, and what we do. And you are a soldier in this fight. Proverbs 23:7. "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." Whatever is on your mind, whatever you think of yourself, is who you become. If you're thinking of worldly, fleshly things, that is who you will become. If you're thinking of spiritual things, that is who you will become. That is what speaks to you today. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So how do they speak to us today? Through our minds. Whatever is on our mind, whatever speaks to us in the world, or if it's a spirit, that is who speaks to us today. For as he thinks within himself, so who he is. And according to Paul, there are two types of minds we can have. A mind set on the flesh, or a mind set on the Spirit. And it's our choice to which one we listen to. And we need to win this fight. So what does it mean to have a mind set on the flesh? A mind set on the flesh is focused on what men want, what you want, your desires. It loves earthly things. It seeks out pleasure, comfort, wealth, and power. And it cannot submit to God because it does not understand him or his value. A mind set on the flesh is a mind that's set on the worldly, earthly things, your desires. A mind set on the flesh is set on money, set on drugs, drunkenness, sex. That is a mind set on the flesh, and that is what speaks to you if you choose to listen to it. Matthew 16, but he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Ephesians 2, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Philippians 3, their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory and their shame, which with mind set on earthly things. The natural person, the earthly person, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. A mind set on the flesh is a mind focused on what men want. A mind set on the flesh loves earthly things. It loves power. It loves wealth. It loves your own desires, your own pride. And it cannot understand God. That is Satan speaking through temptation. Now it's your choice. Are you going to listen to that? Are you going to choose to set your mind on the flesh? Versus the mind set on the Spirit. A mind set on the Spirit is quite the opposite. A mind set on the Spirit is focused on spiritual things. It cares about the matters of the soul. It seeks truth, righteousness, forgiveness, and reconciliation with God. It seeks the mind of God in prayer, worship, and the studies of His Word. A mind set on the Spirit is the complete opposite of a mind set on the flesh. If the mind set on the flesh is a mind set on the world, on the things we can touch, the things we can see, a mind set on the Spirit is focused on the invisible attributes of God, the things we can't see, but we know is righteous. We know it's the truth. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. Psalms, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Matthew, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. Acts 17, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. A mind set on the Spirit is a mind set on God's words. A mind set on the Spirit is listening and hearing God's voice, His words that He breathed out to us. And like the whole thing with the flesh, it is our choice which one we listen to. A mind set on the Spirit is complete opposite than the mind set on the flesh. And they're fighting for our minds. Our minds decide what we say, what we think, and what we do. Which one are you going to listen to? Satan or God does not speak to us like they did in the past. Satan would not speak to you verbally, and nor would God speak to you in the form of a human or through dreams or through a voice, because Jesus was the last one he spoke through. Now God instead speaks through his word that we have before us. And Satan speaks through the temptations of the world that's in front of us. And our minds shape the way we think and what we do. It shapes what we say. And as Paul says, we either have a mind set on the flesh or a mind set on the Spirit. Which one will you choose? For what can be known about God is plain and... Actually, let me go back one bit. I wrote something down, which I realized I didn't take it up with me. But whenever we feel like God is speaking to us, you know, people will say, I feel like he is speaking to me. I see these verses that I'm dwelling on everywhere. I see it in other people. And that is true. But I don't believe it's God directly speaking to you. And what I mean by that is when you get a brand new car, what happens? You start to see that car everywhere. When you get a brand new dog, what happens? You start to see that breed of dog everywhere. When you go on Amazon and you're shopping, what happens? They start advertising other things just like it. When you're dwelling and seeking the Spirit and focusing on God, what happens? You start to see him everywhere because he's always been here. We've just been blinded to it. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. God is here. He breathed his Spirit into all of us. He's in the wind. He's in the nature. It's not God directly speaking to you, but it's you finally opening your eyes to seeing he's here in all of us. And he made it that way for that we can see him. But if our mind is set on the flesh, what do you think you start seeing everywhere? What will start being promoted everywhere on social media for you? Earthly, worldly things. That will be on your mind. That is what you see everywhere. But mind set on God, you'll start to see God everywhere, which is why it's very important to set our minds on the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So how do we set our minds on the Spirit? How do we win this fight? Looks like I'm doing a pretty good job keeping this short. The first way we do it is we choose to pray. Pray without ceasing, it says in 1 Thessalonians. Pray to God. Speak to him constantly. Prayer should just be as often as breathing is to him. Keep that relationship going. Do you think if you have a friendship and you don't talk to that friend for a year or two, do you think it's going to be the same type of relationship? Pray without ceasing. Keep on praying to have your mind set on him. Choose to study. Study his word. In the book of Joshua, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." Think about it day and night. "So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Choose to study. If you're in a classroom and you're taking, say, biology, but you're not studying biology, you're not paying attention in the classroom, do you think you're going to understand biology? Do you think you're going to have it on your mind like a second nature? Do you think you're going to have God on your mind if you don't ever study His Word constantly, every day? You're not. Choose to praise Him. Psalm 34, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Praise Him every day, continually. Choose to praise. Say His name. I haven't had an opportunity to meet everybody here yet, but I'll use myself as an example. Say after this service, I meet one of y'all. And I say my name, you say your name, but I don't speak to you again till the end of the summer. What are the odds I will remember your name? Very little. I have a bad time remembering people's names already. I'm definitely not going to remember it if I just meet you once. What are the odds God will be on your name, on your mind, if you're never praising His name? If you're never thinking about Him? If you're never saying, "Praise God"? And finally, choose, church. This setting right here is amazing. And God created this for a purpose. In Hebrews, it says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Choose church. Earlier in the sermon, I used a verse where they describe the devil as a lion on the hunt. Do you know how lions hunt? They look for the weakest link. They look for the one outside of the herd. If you think you can face Satan head on and through all his temptations by yourself, you can't. And God knows you can't, which is why He established the church, so that we can help each other and encourage one another to keep ourselves strong. Not so that we can be alone, for it's easy for the lion to pounce on you. Choose to pray. Choose to study. Choose to praise God, and choose church. To have your mind set on Him. To have your mind set on the Spirit, for that you can win the battle for your mind. It is your mind that speaks to you. It is your mind that decides what you say and what you do. Win the fight, because there is a battle for your mind. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." If you want to close your notes, I told you I'll keep this short. God and Satan does not speak to us today like they did in the past. They just don't. Instead, God speaks to us through His Word that we have in our hands right now. And Satan speaks to us through temptations of the world. And it is your mind that speaks to you. It's your choice to choose what is on your mind. If your mind is set on the flesh, that leads nowhere but to death. It's a lie. If your mind is set on the Spirit, it leads nowhere but to life and peace. Because that's what God wants our mind to be set on. And if you're struggling with it, know you're not alone. It's a difficult task, especially in this world where everyone's falling away from the church pretty much. Satan's everywhere, but so is God. Open your eyes, see him, let him speak to you through his words, and set your mind on the Spirit. Set it on your spirit right now, not later, because it's just going to get difficult. That's why we are here. The church is here to help you and encourage you and to get you stronger to set your mind on the Spirit. So if you're wanting and willing and want your mind set on the Spirit now, if you want life and peace, we invite you to come up here and be baptized in his name and to let the church pray for you and let the church help you, as is our role, to help you get your mind set on the Spirit. We invite you as we stand and sing.